Greg LaBelle teaches political management at George Washington University and spent years working inside presidential campaigns, giving him a unique perspective on the political headlines we see today. As you know, my thoughts already, it's always great for us to have Greg on the show. And as we look ahead to the second term of the Obama administration, I'm pleased to welcome Greg LaBelle back to State of Belief Radio, not to talk about the campaign, but to talk about this second administration. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you. What a nice change.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, we spent a lot of time dealing with who was going to be in the White House, and it's now time for us to look closely at the president as he moves beyond his campaign mode to actually lead the nation in this second administration. From fiscal issues to gun control, the president seems committed to bringing his message directly to the voters and, according to some observers, to circumvent direct engagement with Congress whenever possible. Is that a fair assessment?
I think part of it is. I think when you said he's moving away from campaign mode, it's probably part of what's not right, because I think the new administration, the new Barack Obama, then the new Barack Obama administration, really understand the value of that campaign mode, if you will, in the context of this new administration and the issues that he wants to talk about. Mm. I think it's probably an overstatement to say that he wants to work around Congress. I think his natural inclination is to work with Congress. He's a naturally careful sort of guy. He's a cautious sort of guy, but the result of the first term and this campaign have left him with the firm belief that this is the way he has to go. This is the way this term has to go. He has to find his own way. He has to be more forceful and take and lay down a few lines and say, mm-hmm. we go here and we don't go any further.
He's got a lot of, I guess, what could be called paralyzed legislation and certainly issues that he wants to move on. Is this kind of unilateral action, the executive order kind of action, going to be used repeatedly in the second administration?
I think that remains to be seen. I think what we'll see is that sort of a fallback position. I think that once he establishes that he's willing to do that, that's then on the table. That was never on the table in the first administration. Mm-hmm. And I think that being there is a sort of power play and message in itself. So the question is whether taking this approach on gun control is something that will make some of the Republican leadership in the House and Senate take note and say, okay, if we don't want to go that route, we need to play ball a little bit more than we did the last 4 years.
I mean, can you do that for 4 years?
It's basically governed by executive order.
Yeah.
It would be awfully difficult. And there will be a lot of criticism, and I think mounting criticism as it goes on. There's some criticism already, I think. I don't think that there's a lot of foundation for the criticism right now. But right. If it continues to be the approach, I think it does shed a different sort of light on the presidency. So I suspect this is more tactic than strategy right mm-hmm. now.
Greg, how much is he going to put into this gun control legislation? Is he going to stick with that?
I think he is, and for a couple of reasons. And one of which is the fact that I think this has really struck home with this president.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sees this, and you listen to his comments. I think you see that this is something that if as president he can't or won't take this issue on, then what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, this is the father of two young daughters, and I think that this really has struck him at that level. But secondly, I think this has become, again, this is sort of the defining issue in a sense as we go into the new administration and the new Congress. I think there have to be some points made in this. Congress has to understand that this is not the Barack Obama that we saw and that was much criticized by these same Republicans over the last four mm-hmm. years for not taking the helm, for not stepping up to the plate and saying, this is what I want, this is where we're going to go. And now he's being criticized for doing exactly that. But I think that that times have changed. His approach to his job has changed. And I think this is a hallmark of what we'll see going yeah. on.
I think just to one more thought about the executive order thing, I think I'm right that he had done less executive orders than almost any president through the first term. And it seems to me that using the executive order is saying, I am going to get this done one way or another, and you can cooperate or I'll go the executive order route.
That's exactly right. I don't know what the numbers are for prior administrations, but I suspect you're right. Certainly, this was not a part of the Obama administration's quiver. The first term, we simply didn't see it. And the second point, I think you're exactly right.
Well, let's talk a minute about the president's cabinet. There are a lot of appointments to be made, and it seems like repeatedly now names are floated to see what kind of venom the opposition will muster in relation to certain people. It's kind of a public vetting before a formal announcement. Now, is that something new or is that something old?
No, it's something new because the reality is they'll all get confirmed.
Really?
I think so, yeah. I don't think that any of them will not get confirmed. So this is folks' opportunity to sort of make their points, get their quotes in the paper and so on and so forth. I don't think that there'll be any significant problems in getting these folks confirmed.
Well, in looking at the transitions that are taking place in the new Congress, in the new cabinet, in a new presidential term, what's catching your attention?
Just the sheer up in the airness of everything right now. In many ways, this is a more precarious time than we saw in 2009. I think politically, certainly not economically, but I think politically that's true. We have a Speaker of the House whose power. Whose handle on power right now is really in question. He was reelected Speaker, but being elected Speaker and being able to function as Speaker are two very different things. The Republican Party is going through a major thinking through of who they are and who they speak to, and you've got Republicans who come from red states who are feeling the pressure of 2 years being challenged from their right. On the Republican side, if they're not careful, you have a certain number of Republican, particularly members of the House, who were elected from states that Obama won, Ohio, Pennsylvania being two of them, who are more concerned about being challenged from the Democratic side in 2 years. So these folks are not going to mix real well in terms of what they need out of this next couple of years. So you've got that whole thing going on. We have a whole lot of new people coming in into the administration, and there's already a little bit of a kerfuffle about how many white males there are. I don't know how that's all going to shake out, but again, this points, I think, to this president's desire to be surrounded by people he's comfortable with and he trusts. I think essentially that's what's going on here. But yeah, there's a lot up in the air right now.
The Monday is the inauguration of the second term for this president. What is after Monday? What is political leadership in this next year going to look like?
I think that we will see a very different political leadership style from the president. We've already sort of alluded to that. I think now that he is freed up from running for re-election, now that he has done better than expected in winning re-election, I think we will see a president who is much more willing and eager, I think, in some ways to step up to the plate on some of these issues and say, this is where I want us to go. I think that we'll see someone who's more strategic in terms of accepting losses for their strategic value than he was in the first term. This president was not often willing to lose. He was willing to accept less than he thought was appropriate or necessary in order to get legislation passed. This, interestingly enough, will put him probably at odds with the leadership of the Senate on occasion, and I think we'll see that in gun control in particular. So we may see more struggles between the president and the majority leader of the Senate this time than we've seen before. The Republican leadership of the House, as I said, I think John Boehner has the worst job in Washington. Washington right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's figured out how to lead this House, how to lead these House Republicans. And he's got to figure that out. Mm-hmm. So,
do you think, and I know a lot of American people are interested in the answer to this question, do you think that we will see a continuation of the hardcore divisions in this nation, or will we get any glimpse of an ability to cooperate?
I think that question gets answered in the hardcore politics as these folks look at the next cycle. And again, speaking about that dichotomy that I just described among Republicans, I think will be part of this. The question is whether I think mainstream conservative Republicans in the House of Representatives are going to realize, and this gun control issue may be a real defining moment in this country, a significant one over many, many years, where mainstream Republicans are convinced, partly by the president's decision to take this fight outside the halls of the Capitol and outside of Washington and directly to the people, whether a lot of these mainstream conservative Republicans are going to recognize the fact that they need the danger of sticking with the Rush Limbaugh Tea Party wing of the party is greater than the danger of not stepping up and addressing some of these issues that Americans clearly see as needing to be addressed.
Well, I don't have a question to ask you about who's going to win what. So I'll ask you the question. You think there will be any surprises this year?
There will be many, many, many surprises this year.
You know what you think's going to happen?
That's always a sort of difficult question to answer in terms of what the surprises will be. I think one of the non-surprises is that we will get something in immigration. I think that has to happen, and I think both sides are going to succeed on that. I guess I think right now the surprise is going to be in this gun control legislation. I think we will see some significant changes in gun laws in this country, and I think a lot of people are betting that won't happen right now. But I suspect that they will. If the Obama administration continues to take the approach here on that, we may see, for me, mm-hmm. happily see some significant changes in the way we deal with guns in this country.
Greg LaBelle is the always insightful assistant professor of political management at George Washington University. He's also the veteran of several presidential campaigns. Greg, I don't know if we'll ever top the experience of taping a segment of this show while speeding through the streets of Charlotte, North Carolina, late one night during the Democratic National Convention, but we're sure going to try to top that. If I could just transition a second before you leave, I've not had a chance this year to mention the fact that a very frequent and prophetic voice on State of Belief was silenced on Christmas Day when Bishop Jane Holmes Dixon died. Mm-hmm. I know that she was an important part of your life. She was as good a friend as I could ever have. And I wonder, would you like to just say a word about Bishop Jane?
Well, as you said, I think that this loss for both of us comes on two levels. I think that this is a great personal loss for both of us in the form of a wonderful friend. But this is – Jane's voice was one of inclusion and acceptance and justice. We have lost that remarkable voice, and it will be tough to replace. We will miss her.
If State of Belief – has any influence at all in shaping people's mentality, shaping their views about religion and religious integrity, I could not hope that anybody could be any more human as well as religious than Jane Holmes Dixon.
You've said it exactly right. Exactly right.
Thanks for being with us again on State of Belief.
It's nice to see you.